Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to all the friends and visitors to our worship service on this beautiful Sunday morning. This weather couldn't be more different than the snow we experienced just earlier this week. And tomorrow we're going to experience the wonders of God's natural world with a solar eclipse. These events really remind us how awesome and powerful our God is and why we are here to worship Him today. We should keep in our prayers all the millions of people that will witness the spectacle and pray that they will recognize God's presence in their lives tomorrow. A few important announcements just to draw your attention to in the bulletin and reminder. Speaking of the eclipse, just to remember that it is staring at the sun during the eclipse can damage your eyes, even if it's just for a few seconds. So remember, if you've got your eclipse glasses, to make sure they're proper ISO certified glasses, use a pinhole viewer, or otherwise just don't stare at the sun to keep yourself safe. Today we want to welcome Pastor Natalie Frisk, whose biography is going to be published in the bulletin. We're looking forward to hear her speaking with us and sharing God's word with us today. So welcome, Pastor Natalie. One other reminder is that we are now into our full swing of our visioning process. Our teams have been meeting and discerning all of the multiple options and suggestions that have been coming from the congregation. And just a reminder, in the bulletin, you will see different ways that you too can still participate and put in suggestions, thoughts, and comments for those teams to consider.
Let's bow together in prayer. Lord, meet us as we gather here together in your presence. Guide us on the path toward our destination and renew our strength as we continue to walk in communion with you. Open our eyes so that we see the signs of your presence around us. Open our hearts so we may receive your peace and love, and empower us to pass on to others the grace you have shared with us so freely. Amen.
Well, good morning, friends. I'm glad I get to do some music today. They said if I didn't, that maybe I wouldn't get paid. So just so you know, they are making sure I earn my way. But we're glad to sing these songs with you, and let's try singing together.
Please stand.
Sure, you can stand as you are able.
Lord, I come. I confess, bowing here I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you.
well, you guys sound pretty good. With me up here, right? That's did someone say good looking too, or am I just hearing what I want to hear? Is that it sounds okay, thanks, Dave. Yeah. This next song we did at VBC. This is a kid's song. It's called House of the Lord. It's a reminder as well that the House of the Lord is not just this place here. It is all of creation as Jesus, as bringing about his kingdom. This is newer for some of us still. I have never led the song before, so prayers and crossed fingers, and let's give it a try. One.
Seated. I just looked back at Aaron and said, do I offer the kids to come up now? And he's like, no, it's you. I definitely need to pay more attention sometimes. Well, good morning, friends. My name is Tim, and I have the pleasure of serving here as the pastor. Now's our time where we'll do a little bit of sharing. If you have any prayer requests that you would like to share, or any joys or concerns, please raise your hand. We'll have a microphone find you. And just with the caveat that this is recorded and it is put on our website, but very few people would be listening except for the people who would be happy to pray for you. Hopefully is the case there. So please raise your hand and we'll have the microphone come over.
So last week, on Thursday, I went to work and I found out a gentleman who needed some help. And one of those helping things that he requested was a blanket and a pillow. And I've not dealt with this much, and I'm thinking, what can I do? What can we do? What can I do? And downstairs, they had the quilting. So I went downstairs and talked to Martha Hildebrandt, and she said, yeah, of course we have a blanket we can give him. So I took the blanket, and I went upstairs, and he was now talking to Tim, Pastor Tim, and I gave it to him, and he was blown away that we were able to do that for him and so quickly. We didn't have a pillow for him, but he told me a bit about his story, and there are so many people hurting out there, and he seemed like a decent man. But he was just trying to get from one day to the next, and we were one of his stops. So I would like us to pray for him and for all the many people in the Niagara region that are also dealing with those circumstances one way or another. The other question, or the other prayer request, my brother-in-law's wife's mother had total kidney failure about a month ago, and she will be on dialysis for the rest of her life, and it's very sad because she's a very energetic woman, and the family is going through hard times. So thank you for praying for her as well. I'd rather not say the name, but those are my two prayer requests. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Irene.
When you look on the bulletin on page 3, that's about the German service on a Sunday afternoon, April 21st at 2:30 in the afternoon. And I just want to remind you that we will be doing a lot of singing here in the sanctuary, and after that, we will be in the basement or in the gym having refreshments. You can read that. The churches from the area are invited to come, all those that are interested in the German language. So just a reminder that we hope we have a good turnout. And for the refreshments, maybe there's some volunteers that are willing to bake something for that for afternoon. Have coffee and kuchen. Thank you.
Well, thank you, John and Ursula, for organizing that. And as you know, if there are leftover cookies, you know whose office to put them outside. All right, friends, well, let's pray together. I'll lead us in prayer, then I'll invite you to do the Lord's Prayer. We'll have that up on the screen, but you are welcome to do that in whatever words and whatever language speaks to you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are good. Father, we thank you that you are here in this place, in these people, in this creation that you have redeemed and are in the process of redeeming. Lord, we pray that we would be able to bring whatever joy you've put into our hearts out into our neighborhoods. That we would be able to do that with open hands, open hearts. Lord, may we use what we have been blessed with to be a blessing to others. As we think of the gentleman who stopped by our church this week, that we could help a little. We know, Lord, that there are many throughout our neighborhood, throughout this area, that are hurting. many throughout the world who do not have enough. Lord, we pray that you would work through your people here, that you'd work through your people here in this place to bless our neighbors who are in need, that you'd work through your church all throughout the world with open hands so that we can go and start to see your kingdom come, your will be done, as we meet the needs of our neighbors, as we bring your love into concrete ways, as we fill hungry bellies, as we comfort people who are in need of comfort. Lord, we also pray for those who are hurting, for those who are sick, and we think of Irene's relative who has had kidney failure and on dialysis. Lord, we pray that you would have mercy. We pray, Lord, for all of those others here that are hurting, that know someone hurting. Lord, have mercy. Guide our doctors. Guide us in making good decisions. And Lord, we pray that your Spirit would bring your healing power in ways that only you can. Lord, as we look throughout the world, we know that there is trouble. We know that there is violence and warfare and loneliness and addiction and pain. But we trust that we are in your hands. We trust that you have a plan to redeem these things and bring hope. Lord, work through your people, work through us. May we see your hope sprout up all around us. May we see your new life. Friends, I invite you to pray the prayer Jesus taught us to pray, as on the screen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Again, kids, it is now kids' time, so please come forward. And I think Aaron has a really fun message for you.
Okay, I'm waiting for the... Usually you guys run much faster than this. I don't know. I'm a little underwhelmed. Is it because there's some weird guy with a nose and a mustache? I know. Well, come on up. Good morning, everyone. I'm wondering if you know who I am. Do you... Who? Okay, yeah, you're right. It's me. I thought maybe you wouldn't be able to recognize me with my amazing disguise, but you knew it was me still. Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to take this off then because I feel silly. But and by my voice, that's true. Okay. So there's lots of ways to recognize people, right? So by the voice, and Tim said my name, right? So you knew who I was, but maybe you didn't need. What's that? Oh, you didn't hear that. Okay. So you just recognized me, even with my silly nose. Okay. Well, sometimes things in life aren't that obvious, right? It was pretty obvious that it was me, even with my disguise. You knew who I was. But sometimes things are not that obvious. Sometimes we get confused, by things that happen, and it might take a while for us to understand what God is doing for us. Even in the Bible, people didn't always recognize, the signs that God gave them. So today we're going to be learning a story after Jesus rose from the dead, so after Easter. Jesus was visiting people, but they didn't always know who he was. Do you think he was wearing a disguise like this one? You don't think so? Well, somehow they didn't recognize him, and we're not really sure why. But in today's story, so this is from the book of Luke, and in today's story, a couple of disciples were walking along a road, and they were really sad that Jesus had died. And Jesus actually showed up. He walked right beside them, and they didn't know it was him. Can you imagine that? Jesus is walking right beside you and you didn't realize that it was him? They thought it was just some random guy. That would have been pretty crazy. So while they are talking, they're asking questions, and Jesus explained how all of the things that they read in their Bibles were pointing them towards all of this stuff happening. So it was all predicted a long time ago. And Jesus started to describe to them all of these things. So they invited him to come for dinner. They said, Jesus, come stay with us. And while Jesus was breaking bread so that they could eat together, all of a sudden they realized it was him. Can you imagine? It took them that long to realize that it was Jesus. And once they realized who he was, their eyes were open. They were filled with joy. Sometimes things in our life can be disguised, kind of like I was with my funny glasses and mustache. That doesn't count as a disguise. You don't think so? I mean, that was the idea. You're right. It's only a one-piece disguise. So if it's a two-piece disguise, then maybe it's a little bit better. What do you think? I don't know. That is true. That's why I took it off. Yeah. Yeah. You guys know a lot about disguises. I clearly picked the wrong. Anyways. The point is sometimes things in life are disguised, kind of like this, right? We don't always recognize what's happening. There are problems in our lives that can feel really big or confusing or don't make sense. And we might be confused why God is allowing bad things to happen in our lives sometimes, right? Why would God let that happen? But in all of this, we can trust that God loves us, even though we still are going to face challenges, right? Life is still going to be hard sometimes, and we won't always find out right away why we have trouble in our lives, but we know that God promises to walk alongside us, just like Jesus walked alongside the disciples on the road. Even though they didn't know he was there, he was there. And he is with us too. He loves us through all of those things that we go through. Can we pray together, and then I'll let you guys go back to your seats? Okay, let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for each of these kids. Thank you for their wonderful ideas and perspectives. And we just pray that as they go into the rest of their week, they would know that you are walking alongside them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Today, there is two readings. The first one comes from Luke chapter 24, 13 to 34. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, called Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened here in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus in Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But he had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels, who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it was just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to see which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' Then they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and appeared to Simon.'" John chapter 5, 39 to 40. "You diligently study the scriptures because you think that by then you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life."
It's my pleasure to welcome my friend, Pastor Natalie Frisk, to share with us today. I did ask her to not preach as well as she could, so you'd still have me next week. So hopefully that'll still go good, but we look forward to what you have to share today. Thank you, Pastor Natalie.
Thanks, Tim. Thanks, Pastor Tim. There we go. Amazing. I don't know. Pastor Tim and I, we attended college together. And I just feel like it's really important for you guys to know that Pastor Tim was really cool in college. So just to give you some framework there. Good morning. It is a pleasure to be with you this morning, getting to share from Scripture. And while tomorrow you're not supposed to stare at the sun, today we are going to. Now, I hope that not too many of you are exactly concrete thinkers, because I mean the S-O-N, sun, of course. I don't want to cause any blindness. we're going to, there we go. I don't know if you can see it as clearly, maybe, as it could be, but there's an image in the background there, and it is an artist's rendering of Jesus. Just, you can see the outline shape of Jesus walking beside those two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And I think there's some real wisdom in what the artist was rendering there. But before we jump into that today, I want to share a brief story with you. One time I was at a conference with a whole bunch of Christian community folks from different churches. It was like a beautiful, ecumenical experience. Really, really lovely. It was like a family reunion. You know, you turn around. I mean, Mennonites know. Who am I talking to? You turn around and you see someone else and you go, oh, it's so good to see you. And you give them a hug. Oh, it's so good to see you. And so I'm leaving the conference and I see off to my right a professor that I had in my seminary, my master's program. And this wasn't just like a professor of many. He was my supervisor. He was the professor who knew me the most and who I knew him the most. In fact, during COVID, I met with him social distance to chat through some of my thoughts for the doctoral program that I'm really slowly doing. And yet, when I called out to him, he looked at me. No idea who I was. And I was kind of going to for the hug. And I could tell before I embraced him, so I backed off, that he did not recognize me. And it had only been a couple of years since I had seen him last. And he goes, I'm sorry, who are, and I said, Michael, it's Natalie Frisk. And he goes, oh my goodness. And I know that what he didn't say out loud, but was running through his brain inside, was, you have aged. and then, of course, he did give me a big hug, and it was quite lovely to see him once I had been recognized by him. Well, that story, it can't even begin to describe the moment that happens in today's story. You've already heard it briefly from Aaron. I loved your disguise, Aaron. I had no idea who you were. I was very impressed. I was like, wow, Groucho Marx. How did you get that guy? And of course, Megan, thank you for reading that massive amount of scripture that I passed on to you this morning. That was wonderful. We are going to walk through that scripture this morning. We're going to journey together. We're going to put ourselves into the sandals of those disciples that were walking along together. So let's see how good I do at using this clicker. Really well, apparently. There we go. Okay. So I will be reading, of course, from, or I'll be kind of unpacking Luke 24, 13 to 34. And if you would like to open your Bible, kind of camp in there with me, I would love for us to journey through by really looking into the scripture together. So that's, again, that's Luke 24, 13 to 34. Here we go. That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus. Well, before we even continue on, what same day? Of course, when we hear scripture, when we read portions of the Bible, of the text, we sometimes can just go on, oh, that same day, da 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 da. And you don't ask the question, what same? The same day as what? Well, what came just before that? Just before that, we learn that the Marys encountered an empty tomb. And so that it's the same day. It is the day of resurrection that these two disciples find themselves walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. So just to give you a quick picture, oh, if you can see it, that red dot is Emmaus. Jerusalem is to the right. There's Bethphage and Jerusalem. And then you'll see further south is Bethlehem. So Emmaus, there's a nice 7 kilometer, I mean 7 miles, what's that about? Oh, I'm so bad. Is that 12 kilometers-ish? Let's just go with miles. 7 miles, which I think most good Germans call that a little, you know, a really quick walk. But for a lot of the rest of us, that's a good hike. And so along they walk. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. Everything that had happened. I just kind of want us to envision that conversation. These couple of disciples are walking along and they're like, man, like, can you believe the last 3 years of our lives? we really thought he was the guy. We thought this was the Messiah. We were ready to you know, do whatever we had to do for him. And he's dead. Well, he's dead. I mean, somebody thinks that he's alive. There are a few of us, maybe. But we're not totally, you know, they're having all of these conversations. And they're probably, there's some fear. There's some confusion. There's some doubt. There's some hope, maybe. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. I love this. I think this is like one of the most funny moments, without necessarily trying to be funny, in the story of Jesus on earth. Because, I don't know, just imagine. These two disciples are walking along. They're probably kind of pouring their hearts out to each other. And along comes Jesus, just kind of walking behind them, doing the, like, I'm over here, I'm listening, I'm ready to kind of jump into the conversation. He knows who he is, obviously. But he is somehow disguised. And we don't know what that means, if that just was kind of God putting the blinders on the disciples so that they didn't recognize Jesus. But he was walking with them. He asked them, what are you discussing so intently as you walk along? This is a good hook. This is a good how to make friends. Just ask a question, join the conversation. Thank you, Jesus, for that pointer. He is kind of playing the fool in this moment to just say, what's happening? What's going on here? What is this that you speak of, this man who has died? And They stopped short and catch this phrase, sadness written across their faces. Now, we know that they had been told that the tomb was empty, that Jesus was not there, that some disciples said that he's alive, and yet, sadness is written across their face. They maybe know but don't believe. They're still lamenting the events of Friday. They're still not sure. They feel as though they've lost this rabbi, this teacher, this great prophet, this hopeful Messiah. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there the last few days." I'm just imagining Jesus receiving that from Cleopas. It's just a funny moment. It's like when you try to explain to somebody who is much more knowledgeable about something than you, something that might be their level of expertise, and you kind of explain it in what would be maybe a kid version of it. So there's Cleopas. You must be the only person. And so then Jesus continues. "What things?" Jesus asked. These two disciples are about to explain the gospel, the good news message of Jesus, to Jesus. I love the storyline here, the story arc. This is like Shakespearean cover. There's some amazing things that God is getting ready to unveil here. And so the disciples said, "The things that happened to Jesus, that he was this man from Nazareth." You know Nazareth. Nobody wants to be there. He was a prophet who did powerful miracles. They're kind of giving the recap, right? This is his sports card highlights, his stats. He did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But, a little bit awkward, our leading priests and other religious leaders, they handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago. Previously, I mentioned the sadness. I don't know if in that description you kind of get the sadness. You sense a bit of the weightiness of all of this on their hearts as they are pouring it out to Jesus. So, again, his stats, his recap here. Let's just do a little review. He's a man from Nazareth. He's a prophet. That was, really the thing that he was called many times, aside from rabbi or teacher, mighty teacher. He had done all of these miracles, healed people. He did a lot of stuff with bread, lots of bread. Delicious, delicious miracles. And they had hoped he was the Messiah. Now you've got to feel for the Israelite people. It had been quiet for the last 400 years. There hadn't been revelations from any new prophets. They hadn't really heard from the Lord, and they were waiting. They were desperately waiting for this Messiah who was going to come to set Israel free. And yet, these disciples believe him dead. Then some women from our group of his followers were at his tomb early this morning. Again, they're telling Jesus this. I just love this image of these disciples telling Jesus this story. These women from our group, which just historically speaking, this passage is like mind-blowing because women in that time in first century Palestine, you're not written into history. And yet, here these guys are including the women in this story. I don't think we can fully appreciate the complete other way, the upside-downness of Jesus' kingdom that these disciples have gleaned. So these women report, and they said his body was missing, and they had seen angels. This is getting pretty good here. Who told them Jesus is alive. Now, just for the doubters, yes, okay, it was reported by women, but the doubters, here we go. Some of our men ran out to see, just to verify the story, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the women had said. Again, they know this stuff that they're hearing. They know it, but they haven't really received it. They haven't really believed it. They haven't really allowed that news to change them yet. And they're sad. They're still sad. Then Jesus said to them, such a great whole experience of Jesus. Jesus said to them, "You foolish people." Now, okay, I just want to clarify something on this. Jesus isn't like bashing them. He isn't being cruel when he says that. The Greek word I'm not going to try to say because it won't come out well. But it really means without knowing. People without knowing. So you dull. You people who have not learned. You don't know this, you people. In our way today, we might go, "Oh, silly people." If I was sharing a story with my mom and she didn't realize something that I was saying and then it dawned on her, I would go, "Oh, Mom, you're so silly." This isn't a condemnation. This is a declaring of, you just don't have this knowledge. You find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory? Then, okay, I'm assuming that the great majority of you here have been in a Sunday school class at some point in your life. Can you imagine this Sunday school class? Imagine this. Jesus took them through the writings of Moses. So that's, you know, the Torah, the Pentateuch. It's the first five books of the Old Testament. Jesus took them through that. And then all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Honestly, this would have been such a cool conversation, even just to overhear. Like, Jesus starts, I can only imagine, he's like, "Hey, remember when in the garden when Adam and Eve did the thing that they weren't supposed to do, and then there was, you know, the curse, and there's, you know, the whole thing where, you know, my son will crush the head of the serpent and he will bruise his heel? That's me. Later on, "Hey, you know the whole thing with the Passover lamb and sacrifice and the sacrificial system? I took that on. Hey, you know in the book of Daniel when it talks about a king who will sit on a throne that will never end? It's me." I just imagining this whole unveiling of scripture to these guys. And I actually have chills. or maybe I'm just cold. No, the whole idea of this is absolutely mind-blowing. Being taken through all of scripture by Jesus, where he says, that was me. That prophet was talking about me. That thing that God spoke to the Israelites, he was talking about me. That thing that Isaiah said, me. Just imagining Jesus explaining all of that to these guys. Now, I have a Bible. It's called the Jesus-Centered Bible. I don't know if any of you are familiar with it, but it's really handy in that throughout, especially the Old Testament, it shows these little blue segments that kind of connect the dots to how that points to Jesus. So, for example, I just opened to 2 Samuel 23. There's this whole amazing thing that David is saying, and it says below, Jesus describes himself as our rock of salvation, echoing David's own description of the Lord here. So we see, like, when Jesus quoted scripture, when Jesus is kind of weaving things together, where he is, so to speak, in the Old Testament. So this, the greatest Sunday school class of all time, has just transpired, explaining all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. There's this throwback in John 5. He's speaking. I'm going to pop back to John 5 for a second. That Megan read for us already. And in John 5, Jesus says, Jesus had just healed someone. He told a man to pick up his mat and walk. He is in the temple, and the Jewish leaders begin harassing him. And Jesus explains of himself this. So he's really talking to the Jewish leaders. You search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life. These are by the book followers. These are religious leaders who know every jot and tittle of the scriptures. Every T crossed, every bit of punctuation, they know it all. And they continue to look through it and try to get all of the things right, to do all the right things, so that they can have eternal life. And Jesus says, but no, the scriptures, don't you see? The scriptures point to me. You gotta stare at the sun. The scriptures point to me, Jesus. We have got to stare at him. We've got to see him. Yet you refuse to come to me to receive this life, because he is the bringer, the giver of eternal life. It goes on. By this time, they were nearing Emmaus. And the end of their journey, Jesus acted, again, Jesus, not in disguise this time, but kind of feigning that he's going to continue going on. Jesus is just, oh, I'll just hit the next town over. But they say, no, come with us. They're offering in hospitality to this man they still actually don't recognize as Jesus. This is this weird in-between that I am both intrigued by, and a little confused by. But I also think that some of us in our lives have sat in this weird in between, where we know who Jesus is. You've heard the stories of him, but we don't recognize him yet. And so here they are in that strange in-between space. And they said, no, come on. They begged him, stay with us. It's getting late. So he went home with them. And as they sat down to eat, he took the bread and he blessed it. The last time that Jesus was together with his disciples all together, he did just that. He had taken the bread and he blessed it. And he said, this is my body broken for you. Now here he is, kind of bookending this a little bit. He's alive and he sits down with his disciples to eat a meal. And he took the bread and he blessed it. Suddenly, their eyes were opened. Suddenly, they recognized him. Now, before I read the next sentence, I just want you to put yourself in their shoes, in their sandals. They're at a meal, so they'd be reclining on a kind of a table floor thing. So there's like cushions, and you're kind of reclining at the table eating, and Jesus is in front of you and he breaks bread and you have this like amazing, like electrifying, aha, it's him. It's Jesus right in front of you. The emotion, the feeling, the excitement, the they had hoped he was the Messiah, right? That all of the hope is flooding back in. Everything that they had hoped for is returning. There's joy. There was probably some, like, you know, like when you just break an absurd laugh out of nowhere? Probably some of that going on. And at that moment, he disappeared. Jesus is so awesome. This whole thing is like a master class in revealing something in a story, and yet Jesus enacted it for his disciples and for us. We get with this revelation of Jesus throughout Scripture, and here he is revealed to us. My question for you this morning is, have you recognized him yet? Now, I have no doubt you know about him. You probably know the scriptures. You know the stories. You know. But have you seen him? Have you stared at the sun? Have you gazed at the beauty of who Christ is? They said to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? Again, that Sunday school with Jesus, their hearts are burning. They're like, wow, this guy, wow, he's just telling us, weaving everything together for us. And within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. I mean, they were probably sprinting back to Jerusalem. They wanted to tell. They wanted to share. They had been with Jesus, resurrected, and then he disappeared? I can't even imagine what that experience would have actually been like. And I'd be sprinting back to Jerusalem too to tell all of my friends, everyone who had been so sad and discouraged and worried and concerned. And they're on their way back to Jerusalem, and there they found the 11 disciples and the others who had gathered with them who said, the Lord has really risen. He appeared to Peter. The Lord has really risen. They fully got it. It is sinking in, and it is changing everything. So I've got a couple of questions as I wrap up here this morning. Where are you on the journey? Now, if I were to assume some things, although it's dangerous to do, I would assume that many of you have been on this journey for a long time. And there's such a beauty in that. I look out into some faces this morning, and it makes me think of, is it Dallas Willard's phrase, a long obedience in the same direction? And that's beautiful. I always think it's good for us, no matter where we are on that journey, to take stock, just to check in. And so here are the few of the questions that I have for you about where are you on this journey to take stock this morning. Oh, this is really tiny. I'm going to look from here. Maybe you're hearing the story, but sad because you're not sure you really believe what you're hearing. Maybe you're in that, I want to believe, but I'm just not quite there yet. Or maybe you need someone to journey alongside you. Maybe in a similar way where Jesus explains things, you need somebody to come alongside you. I just always think of somebody putting an arm around somebody else. I'm a very touchy-feely person, sorry. And and so I always think, you know, wrapping your arm around somebody and explaining to them as you walk along. Maybe you need that. Or maybe you are that person for someone else. Maybe it's been a while since you've done that. Alongside with somebody. Or maybe you've recently had your eyes opened and you've fully recognized him. You're in that space of, there he is. Or maybe it's been a while since your heart has burned, since you have felt that burning in your heart. I'm going to invite you into an experiment this week. No matter where you are on the journey, here's the experiment. No chemicals required, okay, for this experiment. You don't need any special gloves. You don't even need any special glasses. I want to invite you to do this. Share with someone where you're at this week. So in the next, before next Sunday, share with somebody which of these you are on the journey. Just say, hey, you know what? I'm realizing that I need to be walking alongside somebody. Or, you know, I've got this doubt in myself. Be honest. That's experiment part one. I'm not a science person at all, so I was going to try to say, like, oh, I'm going to give you a hypothesis and then go through the scientific method. That's the amount of science language I know. It's ended right there. So step one, share. Step two, pray that the Holy Spirit would encourage you along. Honestly, even if you're in a place of doubt, just throw out that prayer to say, God, would you allow your Holy Spirit to nudge me to where I'm meant to be next? Lift up an authentic prayer to him. Number three is read scripture and ask the Holy Spirit to further reveal Christ to you. If you don't know where to start, if it's been a while or you've never really read scripture on your own, open up one of the gospel books. Maybe Mark, maybe John. Just start there. And see what happens. So this is actually a pretty simple experiment. My hypothesis is something will happen. That's a good hypothesis, eh? It's pretty. It's something will happen. You're going to, it's pretty safe. But I think that God is at work already, and God will continue to be at work in your life. So share where you're at. Pray that the Holy Spirit would encourage you along. Read Scripture and ask the Holy Spirit to further reveal Christ to you. And see what happens. I think it's going to be good. My prayer for you as a church is that you take up this experiment. And you share and pray and read. And then share again what has happened. My heart, my hope, is that some of you end up almost like the disciples once they've had this whole experience and then they run back to Jerusalem. My hope is that you are running into a place, a space, where you want to share that so desperately with others. I know in Christian circles, in particular, we often talk about our journey of faith, and it can sometimes sound a little cliche, but the reality is that it's not linear, and on journeys or on hikes, if you ever are with me on one of them, chances are you might get a little lost. You might slip. The terrain isn't always easy. There may be unexpected things that come along your path. And that's so much like our journey with Jesus. We have to remember and come back to the fact that he is walking alongside us. And that he so desperately is waiting for you to just turn to him for that direction, for that next step. For that next way to go, to turn. Let's pray this morning. Holy God, we thank you for this time to really just stare into your scripture, to really be reminded that your unveiling story, where Jesus is the grand reveal, is so beautiful and so surprising and so incredible and so joy-filled and so gracious and yet so gentle and so needed in our lives and in the lives of the world around us. God, I trust and I know that you are at work in ways that we cannot see. I pray that you would open our eyes and our hearts to be able to see some of those ways where you are at work. We love you. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Friends, please stand as you're able as we sing together, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." That should be 337 in the hymn.
may you encounter the risen Christ this week. Go in peace.